As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tom Juno was the journalist who famously wrote about Mr. Rogers in Esquire magazine in 1998. The story of their friendship was the basis of the Tom Hanks movie, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that came out last year. I haven't gotten to see the movie yet, but maybe you have, or maybe you read the Esquire story many years ago. In the article, Mr. Juno opens by telling a story from his own childhood. Once upon a time, a little boy loved a stuffed animal whose name was Old Rabbit. It was so old, in fact, that it was really an unstuffed animal. So old that even back then, with the little boy's brain still nice and fresh, he had no memory of it as young rabbit or even rabbit. So old that Old Rabbit was barely a rabbit at all, but rather a greasy hunk of skin without eyes and ears, with a single red stitch where its tongue used to be. The little boy didn't know why he loved Old Rabbit. He just did. And the night he threw it out the car window was the night he learned how to pray. He would grow up to become a great prayer, this little boy, but only intermittently, only fitfully, praying only when fear and desperation drove him to it. And the night he threw Old Rabbit into the darkness was the night that set the pattern, the night that taught him how. He prayed for Old Rabbit's safe return. And when hours later his mother and father came home with the filthy, precious strip of rabbit roadkill, he learned not only that prayers are sometimes answered, but also the kind of severe effort they entail. The kind of endless, frantic summoning. And so when he threw Old Rabbit out the car window the next time, it was gone for good. Praying can be hard work. Sometimes we write it off or minimize it, like, all I can do is pray. Can't do anything, I guess, except pray, as if it is next to nothing. Tom Juno thought it was actually a lot of work to summon all that energy, to put your faith and your hope completely into something you can't see, to beg for mercy for the thing you love or desire the most. That can be exhausting. So for a long time, he didn't do it, at least not as a regular ongoing practice, only, as he said, intermittently, only fitfully, when fear or desperation drove him to it. Have you ever felt that way? Like you pray out of fear or desperation more than anything? Like you pray mostly when things are bad? When you're at the end of your rope and you only have one place left to turn? Maybe that's not the only time you pray, but maybe it's when you're working the hardest at it. Or have you ever thought to yourself, I pray every day, but what for? Is it making any difference? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The truth is, we don't always know how to pray. Should I pray for the situation to change? Or should I pray to be at peace with the way it is? Should I pray for a miracle? For healing? Should I pray for hardened hearts to change, either somebody else's or, an even scarier thought, my own? And if I'm going to pray that Old Rabbit turns up, am I willing to also go out into the streets and look for him? Am I ready to play a part and God's answers to my prayers? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And the Spirit also assures us that even when we don't know the best way to pray, even in seasons when we feel distant from God, when our world is living through what feels like a thousand crises crashing into each other, pandemic, racism, division, despair, loneliness, isolation, fear for the future. Even then, God is for us and with us and surrounding us. In Romans, Paul tells us about a God whose own Spirit prays for us. A God who works all things together for good, whose ultimate plans can't be thwarted. A God who chose us as family before we even knew what that meant. A God who is on our side, who gave up everything for us. A God who had every right to condemn us, but instead chose to love us. A God whose love is stronger than anything else in all creation, and whose love will always have the final say. As Mr. Juno traveled with Mr. Rogers, watching him, interviewing him, studying him, he noticed and wrote about so many times when Mr. Rogers asked people to pray for him or when they asked him. From a teenage boy with cerebral palsy to a young adult who was blind to his own minister, Deb. And Mr. Rogers always insisted that a prayer needed only three words. Thank you, God. There's another Christian author, Anne Lamott, who also insists on three-worded prayers. Hers are help, thanks, wow. So one day, Tom Juno found himself in Pittsburgh in Mr. Rogers' office, the two of them and his minister, Deb, together. And as Tom closed the door and started to sit down, Mr. Rogers asked Deb if she would pray for this meeting of friends. Juno writes, "He moved his hand to her palm and extended his other hand to me. I took it and then put my hand around her free hand. We bowed our heads, closed our eyes, and I heard Deb's voice calling out for the grace of God." What is grace? I'm not certain. All I know is that my heart felt like a spike. And then in that room, it opened and felt like an umbrella. I had never prayed like that before, ever. Once upon a time, I lost something and prayed to get it back. But when I lost it the second time, I didn't. And now this was it, the missing word, the unuttered promise, the prayer I'd been waiting to say a very long time. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Help,
thanks. Wow.
Say the words you can find.
Let God's Spirit do the rest.
Know that you are loved forever and without condition. Thank you, God. Amen. Now, friends, wherever you are, may God's grace fill you. May God's love surround you. And may God's peace uphold you, now and forever. Amen.